Hey, Book of Acts today, this is Russ Dizdar. The same Savior, same Spirit of God, same work of God. Everything is the same. That's the good news. God is alive and operative today. We as believers, well, we come before that throne of grace boldly. And we trust that He is with us always to the very end of the age. Now, as I think about this chapter, I'm pretty excited about it. And we need to give great praise and exalt in the Lord. Now, you're going to see a couple of words used as the Spirit of God guides Luke the writer. And as he illuminates the word to us today, I love this. As we are in your workbook pages of, 42, 43, let me look over here to my left, and you can continue to go through there. We are at audio number 33, and on our way to well over 100 of them. I'm not sure when you're entering in, whether here in the beginning and going along as we get them out, or at the very end when there's many audios. And if it's well over 100, don't worry about, just take your time. But let me tell you this, what we see here in this portion of Acts chapter 2, we see very clearly the steadfastness, the continuation daily, every day. Well, every day the same. Hope of the hopeless, Jesus is His name. Help of the helpless, every day the same. It's an old song that a old well-known evangelist came out of Washington, I believe, to see D.C., Paul Rader. And I remember having 15 churches together, and he would have that song. And I loved it because it was very simple but powerfully true. Hope of the hopeless, Jesus is His name. Help of the helpless, every day the same. Now, that is the exciting thing. So today is the day, and today is the full grace, the full attention, the totality of God is here. So there's misteaching, and it comes out of bad experiences, comes out of bad theology. I think there's only, the truth is, when it comes down to biblical theology, that is good and good all the time. If it's the Word of God consistently, under the Lordship of Jesus, sure. Now, as you look at this in audio 33, we're to chapter 2, verse 40. But I want to just drop back a recap real quick to the last session we just did. So just real quick, jump back to verse 32. When Peter unleashes, Spirit-filled Peter, unleashing the Word of God, the Gospel, by the power of the Holy Spirit now, and the same Holy Spirit in you, the same Holy Spirit on you, by the way, same gospel that you have, by the way. And so the same effects, same power, same working is to this very day God's full activity and no different. So when I hear sometimes people say, well, God's not working the same way today as He did in the days of the apostles, or it's too late. It's too evil that we're living in such dark times. God's going to judge everything. Well, no, not yet. In the Great Commission alone, let alone in everything else in the New Testament, no, God is operative to the very end, to the very last breath we're here, until He returns. So I think it's vital that we know that, and that we're here to do the mission to that last hour. We're to live that mission. And I want to say this. We're going to live it in the fire of the Holy Spirit, the, not quenching, that fire. When we've been indwelt, we've been clothed with dunamis power. So we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't quench, don't put out the fire. And that can come from our own individual lack and failure, our succumbing to the fallen world system, our giving in, caving into the old flesh nature, or the enemy crippling us in some way. Some bad, false teaching that, God's not doing the same. It's only half the grace, half the power, half the working. And it's really quite insane, quite crazy, in my view, when we or anyone begins to teach that. And it always tells me that it's some individual leader that's not been on the field of human history, and they've not put the word of God and the works of God together. Now, after Peter is unleashing the gospel, we read these words, and when they heard this, they were stung. Now, this word is katanuso. It is, they were emotionally stricken. They were pricked. They were pierced all the way down. Like we read in Hebrews 4 about the word of God penetrating all the way down, dividing soul and spirit, all the way to the depths of us. So katanuso is this idea, literally has the idea to prick something violently, to strike very, very hard. So the backdrop here is John's Gospel 16, verse 8. The Spirit of God is going to convict and convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Why do I think this is important? Well, in our studies right here, it's part of the confidence of being a witness, part of the confidence of unleashing the gospel. We don't have to do it scared, you know, kind of squeeze the gospel out, in other words, believers are not fearful, intimidated, timid. No, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of fear, but of power. Now, what's great is the word of God will have its effect. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. In the book of 1 Peter, we are born again when we receive, when we believe the word of God. The word of God's involved. The Spirit of God's involved. So when I read this, I want to make the emphasis for your confidence as a believer in Christ, all of us to have great confidence in the fact that as we share Jesus, tell others about Jesus, urge, bring the message out clearly, wonderfully, lovingly, strongly, that the Spirit of God will do His job. And you're going to be surprised at times that individuals, when you proclaim Jesus, you share Jesus. This is how it was for me in 1975 when I got saved. That guy that came in to a radical drinking, drugging, crazed party, and he began to witness to everybody. He was, by himself, he was so lit up in the Spirit of God that some were running away, others were hearing. But here's what occurred. One by one, and then with me, same thing. We were just literally stung. Pierced, deeply convicted and convinced by the word of Jesus, the gospel he was sharing, and by the Spirit of God who was present. So my point is that in all of our sharing, in all of our opening up the gospel, you never have to do it timidly. You never do it with trepidation. Wonderfully, boldly, lovingly, with great gladness and great joy, share the good news. And the power of the Spirit of God, He will come down, He will move, He will engage hearts. Now, as a pastor for years and years, giving invitations in a church service, every single one of those services, always, never, we always, I don't care if it was a church of 30 or of hundreds or at special events when we had thousands, to give that invitation. Because the Spirit of God's doing His work. And they said, what shall we do? So when the gospel is unleashed by a Spirit-filled, loving believer, and Jesus is poured out, you can be sure the Spirit of God is going to do His work. And the Spirit of God is going to speak. He's going to engage. He's going to convince and convict. And individuals, they're going to be stunned at times. This word has the idea of emotionally stunned, mentally gripped, in a very strong and powerful way, kata nuso. And it's very important that we know and have confidence in that, in the sharing of the gospel, and when we give that gospel to individuals. Now, that along with what I'm going to say here in verse 40, where we're starting, audio 33, Acts 2, verse 40, now, this verse involves my encouragement to all churches, all pastors, all ministries. Listen, maybe you're in music and you do concerts, Christian concerts. Praise God, I hope there's more and more. But whatever ministry, and we're unleashing the gospel, I don't care if I'm preaching on the street, if I'm opening up in a bar we went into and started witnessing to five guys and to the bouncers like we've done before, it doesn't make any difference. To the bikers, it doesn't make any difference. From the pulpit, from outdoor, from indoor, unleashing the gospel, the sheer faithfulness of God, the absolute faithfulness of God to do what he's going to do. There's no question what he's going to do. And he's there to save them. He's there to stun them, stop them, engage them solemnly, call them to repentance and faith in Christ. Now that's going to be, you know, God's going to do that in the unleashing of the gospel. So again, the most supernatural working on the planet is you and believers as we unleash the gospel. I don't care if it's big angry atheist or angry Satanist or doesn't make any, or possessed individuals, or it seems like they're possessed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they sound hard or cold or they act that way. You unleash the gospel faithfully, and that word of God and the Spirit of God at times will stun and strike and prick and pierce all the way deep down in. And they're going to want to know what to do. And this is where it comes down to, in all of our soul winning, all of our sharing. I'm going to say again, soul winning may be the most supernaturally attended to action on the planet today. Beyond the Satanists, beyond the rituals, beyond all the other stuff. Because when you read the book of Acts, you see 11 times individuals filled with the Spirit of God. All of them become powerful, effective soul winners. Spirit-filled people share Jesus clearly. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You shall be my witness. And sometimes all it takes is to begin to break out. And when you begin to witness and share in witnessing, you experience the operative power of the Spirit of God. You'll begin to feel the presence and power and activity of the Spirit of God. You'll see how the Spirit of God brings back to your memory scripture, gives you words to say, almost in a sense of being on fire, speeds you up. I mean, all of a sudden you're talking and sharing and talking and sharing and urging, and you're just lit up. And that's a good thing. That's a very good thing, because the Spirit of God is pouring through you and pouring on the other person. And the Spirit of God is doing his job, convicting, convincing, pricking, urging, calling. Because you know what? God has, in the gospel, in the sharing the gospel, God is showing up to save them. He's there to save them, period. And he's not there to suggest. He's calling them to repent. And so you see that right here. When they're like all of a sudden then pricked in their heart, they're gripped by God, by the gospel. What are we going to do? And so then you always must lead them to Jesus. Lead them to repent. Tell them right now, it's time to repent. Stop going in the wrong way. Let's right now bow the knee to Jesus. You know, just right now, repenting and turning around, and now going to believe on the Lord Jesus, receive him as Lord and Savior. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit will come into you, and then you can get baptized to proclaim that salvation that you have just received. And that is, you got to understand that I'm going to emphasize that all the way through. You'll hear me talk about all the way through the book of Acts here. The local gathering of the church should be the most powerful, supernatural, demonstrative. The word of God and the wonders of God, the works of God, should all be operative because of his living, immediate, active, personal presence and what he's doing. God is at work. The problem has been, when we hear people, well, nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting healed, no great wonders of God. Here's what I've seen, because nobody's witnessing. Nobody's praying with faith and believing. Nobody's giving invitations to healing, to salvation, to deliverance, to hearing a word from God, giftings being used. So when the church lacks in experience, many times I think there's a fleshly avoidance of the depth of Scripture. And sometimes when believers are like, and again, they look in Scripture, they see all these things, you might be thinking, wow, these are incredible things God is doing. And all I'm going to say is this, they're meant to kind of incite and inspire us. Faith comes from hearing of the word, we read in Romans 10. Well, that's true for us as believers. That's true for me right now and you right now. Even as a believer, that's true. And that's important as our faith gets built, so that God will, as you are lit up and filled with the Spirit and sharing Jesus, you're going to experience the power of the Spirit, the working of the Spirit of God, the love of God, the compassion. You'll experience that urgency of calling them to repent and believe in the Lord and to follow through by getting baptized and getting involved in the body, involved in the Word. And you'll have an explosive excitement when you're telling them the truth, that God so loved the world. And as you pour out the entire gospel, and then the Spirit of God does His work, well, they're going to want to know what to do. And you and that's where the invitation comes in. And that's why I'm saying verse 40 comes in to this audio, to this session. I want to emphasize verse 40 in Acts 2. I want you to see what happens with a Spirit-filled believer. With many other words, he testified and exhorted. Now, I'm going to go to the two things here. Dia Matoru testified. He solemnly, deeply, honestly was witnessing Jesus. Matoru, you shall receive power. You become Matoru. You're going to become witnesses of Jesus. You're going to become those who are going to tell. And I want you to know that this is a the tip of the spear, the front line. This is what God wants. Nobody, remember this. Nobody can get saved without hearing, Romans 10. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring it. You. And the biggest thing that I've seen over the years, believers who've lacked becoming a part of a powerful, you know, the normal church is powerful, and the examples of saved and healed, delivered, and God at work really encourage believers. But when the church is more subnormal, lacking in faith, and kind of suppressive and quieted, then a lot of believers who are not used to thinking, oh, I'm going to be a witness, oh, I'm going to share Jesus, well, it becomes a little bit of a fearful thing. Here's what I would say. Clearly just say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I repent of any fear in my life, and I surrender to the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit. You said you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on me, and I will be your witness. So I surrender, and I'm asking you to so clothe me and fill me and just inundate me with the Spirit of God. I receive by faith the fullness and power and fire of the Spirit of God, and I'm going to launch out. And I think this is kind of seeable in Acts 9 when we get there. Paul gets filled with the Spirit. He begins to testify. Then it says he grew more and more powerful. You know, being filled with the Spirit, being clothed with power, that experience and all that comes with that is the beginning. Then you launch out. Then you experience what I call operatively or experientially, you experience the Spirit of God guiding, leading, empowering your speech, reminding you of Scripture, giving you the passion, giving you the urgency, to where all of that becomes the norm. Normal believers are Spirit-filled, happy, glad. There's gladness in witnessing. It's good news that we're giving. God has come to rescue. God has come to save. That, and there is no greater person and no greater spiritual act or experience, salvation, that can be found. And I want to urge that. And so with many other words, I have a lot of things to say about Jesus. I have a lot of things to say. I don't care who to whom it is. I, by experience now, and by the Word of God, the promise the Holy Spirit would give us words, and that we have power to witness, I could tell you clearly that just when you jump into witnessing and sharing, you're going to, you know, you to launch out in the Spirit, you're going to experience. So I just know that's going to happen. You know, I don't have to have my, now I can use a gospel tract, I can have a Bible, I can point to Scriptures. I like to do that. When I'm engaging somebody, I like to have something, whether it's just a, if I don't have a Bible, I have a gospel tract I can open up and have them read with me. I can point right to the Scripture and show them the Scripture so they can help read it. there's been times I even said, read this. And they read the scripture. Or I'd point them to John 3:16. Have you ever heard of that? No. Well, I take them there. For God so loved the world. And I said, circle that word world. And then I say, put your name there. John and Sally and Fred and so forth. God so loved us, even when we were lost, that he gave his only begotten son. Now, in sharing, in witnessing, and in talking the gospel, it's very clear to me that we are able to, and it just happens. I've been in homes, I've been on the streets, I've been all, and when many words can start pouring out of your mouth to individuals, and with that comes at times an urgency. So the word testify here is dia. Mataru, that has the idea of a deeply honest. Now, as you're listening to this, you know I do broadcast radio worldwide, evangelistically, and we deal with tough subjects. And so I had an email come to me from a Muslim girl. That Muslim girl sent me a message that just was really quite astounding. She said, I think it was from the United Arab Emirates. I forget where. I had emails coming from Saudi Arabia, other places, thanking us. And this girl says, I was a, you know, Shiite Muslim, and she was raised Muslim. She talked about how brutal and hard it was, but she turned to Jesus and found peace. Here's what she said to me, though. She said, please, Russ, Mr. Russ, keep speaking. We Arabs, we're listening, and we know you're speaking the truth. We can hear it in your voice. And I believe that. I believe that as you're filled with God, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with God. As we read in 2 Corinthians 6, and 5, and 5 of the Ministry of Reconciliation, chapter 5, as if God was actually speaking right through you. Well, he is. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're speaking every word. You're everything about you, body, soul, and spirit, Jesus himself is pouring through. And as you feel the sense of urging them and passionately calling them, so I don't want to ever, you know, I don't just go, when I witness and share with anybody, there's emotion involved. There's passion involved. I'm compelled by the love of God. I'm compelled by the urgency of the hour that we live in. I'm compelled by the power of God in the context of the gospel, that power is going to come and engage them. I mean, you're going to read the book of Acts here later, where the power of God came. Now, Stephen unleashed a powerful witness and said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, you always resist the Holy Spirit. It was very clear. When sometimes there's going to be individuals that when they hear the gospel and the power of God is actually pricking them and convicting them and stinging them to the very heart, they may get hard. They may become very strong in their resistance. That's on their heads. That's on their, and there's times when I've had that happen, my own father being that way. I kept going back to him for years. So, I mean, I went on witnessing to all the others and we got to do that. But there's some that, family members especially, very hardcore, very whatever, and resistant. And I just go back again later on. So when we read here, verse 40, with many other words, he testified, and he can talk about God's work. He can talk about Jesus, what he did, pouring out everything. And he also exhorted, parakaleo. Here's where we get the idea of invitation. He's urging them. Actually, if you look up the Greek word here, it has the idea of there's a sense of emotional, I don't want to say beg, but imploring someone. Get saved now. Come to Christ now. You got to get saved. Now, see, I remember the drug addict, drug maker, drug seller that got powerfully saved, filled with the Spirit of God. We heard about it for 2 or 3 months. And then he showed up at the apartment, and I can remember him coming and sharing Christ with me. And I can remember him saying, Russ, I don't want you to go to hell. God loves you. Jesus wants to save you. You got to come to Jesus. He'll give you his power. I can still remember from over 40 years ago as he spoke powerfully. You know, he, and now I look back, he was on fire with the Holy Spirit. And he just poured out Jesus to me. And even though I ran from him, got in my car and drove away, he found out a week later. That night, I was stung and pricked to my heart and pierced, and the Spirit of God continued to work and to work. He was probably praying for me, even as I ran away, as I've done for others over the years, as I've done for my dad, as I've witnessed. Sometimes you'll have people that they're struck by God, but they resist and run, and you know, maybe they might even run away or cuss you out. I've been cussed out. I've had doors slammed on me. I've even been, you know, I've been threatened before along the way. And I'll tell you some of the stories along the way too. But with many other words, he testified honestly, truly, deeply, sharing, and he exhorted with an urgency, with a passion. I want you to know that as you step out and you begin to witness and you begin to share, you will become more powerful. You will experience more passion, more urgency, more confidence and competency, and you're going to see how the Spirit of God, just like a river flowing through you, brings Scripture, brings... That's why fill yourself, Colossians 3:16, with the Word of Christ, the Word of God, the Gospel. Fill yourself. Study deeply the Word. And then as you share with others, it's going to come up. And you're going to, you know, there's been times where I've shared things and brought up Scripture that came to my mind. And when the person got saved, here's what they'd say to me. When you brought up that last Bible verse, when you brought up that last Scripture, that's what did it. So the Spirit of God knows. He knows how to, you know, in the Old Testament we read, come, let God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Come, let us reason together. Says the Lord. So the idea of him reasoning with, that's what convicting and convincing John's Gospel 16 verse 8 is all about. So be very confident the Spirit of God will clearly do his work. He'll pour it in and on through you, and he'll do it way beyond you because God's there to save somebody. He's there to do that. And when we realize that, when we realize that in pouring out the gospel right then, right there, God is coming to save them right now. I've heard people say, well, God wasn't ready to save them. That's not true at all. He's always ready. The issue is hearing the gospel so they can get saved. And that's what happened here. They heard so deeply. The Scriptures and the testimony of Jesus was poured out so powerfully. They were so stung, so pierced by the Spirit of God and truth. They said, what shall we do? The next step, and so parakaleo, invitation. Let me beg pastors and leaders. I was at a church last Sunday, a totally different church, first time ever. There wasn't even 4 seconds of prayer in the entire service, nothing for the lost, other than the pastor, the associate pastor got up. He did share. He did pray for the city. So I was like, praise God, he knows what to do. And then he shared on Acts chapter 8. And about Philip and being a witness, and it was very good message, very good about souls and soul winning and sharing. And he came to the end of it and closed in prayer, and there was no invitation. And there had to be a couple of hundred people there. We were new, brand new people sitting in there, but no invitation, nothing. So how can we pour out the gospel and not tell folks right here, right now, you can repent and believe on the Lord Jesus, and the promised Holy Spirit will come right in you, and God's power will come right in you, and forgiveness will come, and Jesus, and share, and say, what will happen right now? And individuals need to know. And that's why we lead them out. You know, I lead them out, you know, in a prayer of, if this is what you now know you need to do, when they're so convicted and convinced, what shall I do? Well, pray out this way. And I just lead out a prayer, and I have them pray out strong and loud. Lord, Jesus, I come before you. I now believe that you are God, that you are Savior, that you are the Savior that's come for me. I believe the gospel. I repent of my sins. I know I've been cut off, but I repent of that. I now, by faith alone, turn to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I receive you. I accept you as Lord and Savior into my life. I accept the gift of salvation and the gift of eternal life right here and right now. And I receive the Spirit of God you're putting into me. And I receive forgiveness. So I just lead them in prayer like that. Bible says in Romans 10, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it means, calls. Not even whisper, it means call. So I love to lead people out. When they believe, they're gonna pray out. When they, in their heart, when they're believing the message, when they're engaged by God, they're going to pray out. It's going to be clear. It's going to be important. So with many words, continue to share. You might need to go back to individuals. Testify again. Be very clear and honest and true about it. I've talked to people to their face, say, I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to be lost. I could show them the scripture. God's not willing that anybody perish. God wants you to be saved right here and right now. And I urge you, because if you're not, you're lost. You will go to hell. And you need to come to Jesus now. Please come to Christ right here, right now. Well, I believe that's part of the passion. And I think that's what right here it says. You know, when he says, and it's quoted here, be saved. I love that word. Be saved. It has the word sozo in Scripture. And that's, you know, I've heard people say, and again, here's the dumbing down. We don't really use the word saved. We talk about a relationship. Well, praise God, it turns into relationship. But you need to be saved. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're separated. And sozo is the idea of rescue from danger. I had to talk somebody off a bridge once. Actually, a friend of mine, I just got into Dallas, Texas, and we saw, as he's driving me home to his house, this is probably, I don't know if it's like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Here's a lady standing on the other side of the rail of a bridge overpass with her hands backward, holding onto the rail, leaning over. All she had to do was let go of her fingers. She would have went straight down into the highway traffic, and she would have been crushed. And we saw this, stopped the car, quietly ran up, and grabbed a hold. She actually kind of fought us a little bit. And we're trying to convince her and tell her, was there danger? You better believe it. Was there danger of her going off the side of that place? You better believe it. Was she moments away from, could you imagine being run over by a truck, cars, hit the ground? I mean, maybe four or five cars crashing into each other. Well, Zozo has that idea of salvation is a rescue, a deliverance out of danger. It's like if a fire started in your house, you had children, and you run, the fire's everywhere, and you're running to the children's room, you're grabbing them. I mean, you're just grabbing them and carrying them out. That's the picture of Zozo. Zozo is God comes to seize and to save and to rescue, to lay hold of, to grab hold of. So when you share the gospel, God's laying hold of them. When you pour out Jesus, God is going to grip them, prick them, pierce them, convict them, convince them, love them, show him, show her, and the whole depth of the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All that's going to come. All of that's going to come. And it's important that we share it like that. And so to say, be saved, that's the urgency. That you're lost, you're sin, you're broken, you're separated from God, Satan owns you, hell's going to have you. So right now, be saved, be rescued, come to Christ. And he says, be saved from this perverse generation. It means crooked and kind of dried out, gnarled, twisted. This is the generation that helped put Jesus, you know, in the context of history, they helped put him to the cross. There's this great rejection, a great perversity in religion, a great cult. Among the Sadducees and Pharisees, we got to realize this was cult. It was nothing to do with God. Jesus made it very clear in John's Gospel 5 and 6, your father's the devil, he said. If you would have believed Moses, you would believe me. But they didn't believe the word of God, and the word of God didn't live in their hearts. And they rejected the earlier preparations of God, and they didn't receive the Messiah when he came. Well, that does happen. There are those that are going to reject. There are those that do. But I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this really clearly too. In verse 40, and let me just say one more thing about verse 40. Be saved. Be saved now. Be saved out of the sin and hell and Satan's grip from this perverse generation. What if we're in the final generation? It will be more crooked, more perverse, more twisted, more radically evil than ever. And so the urgency to preach Jesus and have folks come now, come to Christ now, and to receive him now. You can be confident in that. Now, verse 41, when then those who gladly received his word, and this word has the idea of they just literally were lit up. They were exulting. They were praising God. Those who gladly received and welcomed the word of the gospel, that comes first when they received Jesus, receive the gospel, receive salvation. They were baptized. So you're going to find out in the book of Acts, only believers got baptized. People who got saved were baptized. No children. You didn't get saved beforehand. You didn't get saved in the middle of the discussion. No, you get saved, then you get baptized. And that's a powerful declaration for the individual. It's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's a proclamation to everybody else. That's why I love celebrating baptisms. And notice what it says here. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. They were added to them. Added to the number. They were added to the church, in a sense. This is very important. That there's times you're going to lead people, and I've done a lot of this, one-on-one, or a group, or a couple. I've led a couple, you know, couples to Christ. But in larger meetings, when we had, and I've been a part of bigger, huge outreach ministries and evangelistic concerts and so forth, invitations given. I'm right in the middle. There was a time I had over 100 people. We didn't have enough people to minister to everybody. Because we wanted to get everybody's name, get everybody a Bible, get everybody signed up for baptism, and we wanted to minister to everybody. We wanted everybody to hear, to repent, to believe on, to call on the name of Jesus, to receive him, then to instruct them and help them and, you know, give them the follow-up that's necessary and part of the whole of the gospel. And there's been times when it's just been incredibly overwhelming. And there's times that invitations can go on. In conferences, we've given invitations where I remember one of the ones we did in Dallas years ago. And I was told, I gave that invitation. You could feel the power of the Spirit got over, you know, 800, 900 people. And all of a sudden, many came down. I was told by those who were doing all the other, because I was with so many people praying with them and doing other things. 28 people got saved. Another 100 people are all around getting prayed for. And I was over there for probably 3 more hours just praying for people and pouring out the ministry of Jesus, praying for healing, praying for deliverance, giving counsel, a word, a scripture to individuals. And well, there is great joy in all of that. And I think that's important. Verses 40 and 41, very important in the context of being a witness for Jesus and speaking and realizing that when you do step out, when you do begin to share, then the Spirit of God will pour it on and you just flow. When I say like rivers of living water pouring out of you, well, that's John's Gospel 7. When Jesus said, whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of their inmost being would flow rivers of living water. And of course, look at the context. He meant talking about the Spirit of God. That's a picture of the action of the Spirit of God. I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got witnessing and sharing the gospel to others like a river pouring out. Father, I pray that every single believer listening and hearing, just moved by the Spirit of God, refresh in the Holy Spirit, renew in the Spirit of God, lead all of us today, tomorrow, daily to share Jesus. Pour out Jesus, and like God, a river of your love, grace, your call, your summons, and the work of the Spirit of God, we're going to see powerfully many, many individuals get saved. We thank you for that. Thank you for our salvation today. In Jesus' name, bless every single student in the Word of God right here. Glad you're here. This was Audio 33. We'll see you in the next one. God bless.